All right, welcome to RSG One Mic. It's the place where, you know, we put that issue in the middle of the table and I'll nibble on it, Hank will nibble on it, and Darnell, the super intern, will nibble on it. But we'll get into the issues, but we always, you know, warm it up with a little bit of open mic, so it's a fun show. But if you want to catch us, check us out on our Real Sports Guys on all platforms. You can also get me, last time I didn't get this right, RSG D. Wills. You can catch that. If you want to hit me up, don't come weak. Don't come into my mentions, my DMs, all crazy, because I will respond. And I might even have our dog Cocaine with me when we do it. All hosts are brought to you and callers are brought to you by Patreon. Go to Patreon to support underground artists and performers. You can catch RSG on Patreon at www.patreon.com/RSG live. Hey, we've had some good runs. I hope y'all been checking out all the content we delivering. Before I bring the super intern Darnell on to be in that captain's chair, he's been killing it. I do want to let y'all know a special announcement. Now, the game changer, you know, he tries to say that I'm always in the back room stirring something up. You know, he said I'm like Suge Knight without the anger management. But this is a team effort. This is a team effort here. And we are officially taking RSG again on the road. We are going to the Maui Invitation. I will be in the building in Maui. Illinois will be in the building. Duke will be in the building. Arizona will be in the building. Gonzaga will be in the building. Xavier will be in the building. And yes, RSG will be in the building as well. So stay tuned for, we'll be giving you more details. Be watching it. We're going to try and put some interviews together, some stuff, you know, together. I'm trying to bring these fellas into the conversation while I'm on the ground in Maui. But you don't know where you're going to see us. We started out little mom and pop, and we're trying to grow. So, but having said that, we're going to get into the show. Before we pass it to my man Darnell, you know, we got to do the introductions, warming up a little bit. We got Big Hank in there. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Hey, man, it's always good to be here. Always good to see everybody. See your lovely faces out there in TV land. You know, this is great. It's the first day of November.
Yes.
You know, as one sport ends, another one starts to begin. We just finished up the World Series in baseball, and now it's on to what? College basketball. Well, you just got to love it, you know. It's just one season in. The other one just starts up. It's just great to be a sports fan. I'm telling you the truth.
Well, hey, I'm glad to hear, you know, it's heating up. And a lot of topics we're going to talk about today will tell you, man, the sports world is heating up. And we've been fortunate so to have a young man, like I said, we crossed generational. And now we got the youngins in the building. Add a little bit of flavor. Adding their little sauce and shaking to it. And so, you know, we can't move on without bringing our newest addition and the man who's going to be in the captain's chair tonight, my man Darnell, the super intern. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Derrick Rose. Man, nothing made the eighth grader in me happier than watching Derrick Rose drop 50 last night, man. This is a great day for me, man. Derrick Rose is back.
Man, I heard that, and you know, I'm also working on a degree. I'm writing. I'm trying to work on my degree, so I'm like, I'm not gonna watch this game. And then I heard Derrick Rose hit 50. I'm like, his knees must have been oiled up. He must have went in and did some yoga. He ate right, like all the stars, because you know he been lugging back. So you young guys, that's y'all generations. Superstar, yeah, right there, D. Rose.
I was watching Derrick Rose's high school highlights when I was in like sixth grade, seventh grade, something like that. Yeah, man, Derrick Rose was the guy for us. It used to be Derrick Rose, John Wall when we was coming up, because when we was like first like getting really into the game, that's when it was coming up. Like hearing about John Wall, Derrick Rose, you had Blake Griffin.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we all still in our age.
Wait a minute.
Hank, you've been talking about Oscar Robertson.
No, that's before my time.
Oh, man.
Tight shorts.
There you go.
Shorts cutting off your circulation.
I saw Earl Monroe yesterday.
No. Look here. We could go with the Zeke, and we could go with Kareem. Now, they had some short shorts, too. But let me tell you something. I watched that, and it was like, Derrick Rose had the lady. He said, you scored 50 points. How you feel about that?
You don't know what he's been through.
I mean, he done been through.
So happy. Oh. I scored 50 points in a game in late October on Halloween. I'm like, look, thank God I'm healthy enough to do this. I'm going to fall out and start crying. Okay, really? Come on, you did it before. I understand.
No, people thought he was going to be out the league.
He was boo-hooing.
People thought Derrick Rose was going to be out the league. Now he out here dropping 50.
You thought he won game 7.
You thought he was going to do the Rocky. You know, yeah, we can come together. Man. Anyone can get together. We can. Oh, you're gonna make one of it. I have a dream speech. All right, youngin. You got the captain's chair.
He was red eyed.
He was.
He was boo hooing.
And I know that's where you want to begin tonight. So
I know you saw some of the game, Devon, or you at least saw some highlights or something.
Yeah, man, but I tell you, it was like a Back to the Future type video. I was like, you know, they might be checking his urine, because how you can go from broke knee to crossing folks over.
But he didn't. If you watch that game though, he did something. He was really lighting it up from the three.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you watch where he got a lot of his points for us, he really shot the ball well from the perimeter.
Which was his biggest issue.
Yeah, I mean, so he went inside, and they were even saying, like, he's just not a good three-point shooter. But he was lighting that puppy up last night.
Well, he was lighting up in the playoffs last year, too. He was shooting 40-something percent coming off the bench.
Right. I mean, so you're not taking – I'm not taking nothing away from him. He was on. You know, and if you're gonna light it up like that, you're going to be on. But it ain't like he was doing the old Derrick Rose crossing over up in the middle. Now, he might have did a couple two-three things, but the Mankles was like, hold on, brother. Stay outside, stay in your lane.
Well, somebody got to step up because Carl Towns not playing aggression.
Huh?
I said somebody got to step up because Carl Towns ain't playing aggression.
No, you're right. But he did his thing last night, and congratulations to him. That was fabulous.
And it was another performance where they probably needed all those points. But the other thing is, I've always said about Derrick Rose, even when he was at his best, was that the Bulls would get where they needed to be if they could win at the level they were winning, but he was scoring 22 points, controlling the tempo, working his outside game, because he could always get a shot wherever he wanted to get it. But if he could get to the point where, because he was such a dominant player, control the tempo of the game, and use his quickness to get everybody else involved. And one of the things about it, I think, that he's got to figure out now, that he's still somewhat quick. He'll never be what he is. But by improving his outside shot, doing some other things, thinking from the neck up, not, you know, having his athleticism dominate, that might be something that can help that Minnesota team down the stretch, particularly if they move on from Butler, who they said, you know, he was the only one who didn't really come out and congratulate, even though he was in the building. You know, and, you know, they got a history. Anyway, they probably meant in defense a little bit, but, you know, somehow he is 50, and then it becomes about Butler not being out there congratulating him. But I'm happy for the brother, you know, for finding that fountain of youth. But, you know, he might be like John Duck, but like your boy Dawkins for the Philadelphia 76ers. He was like, don't count on that tomorrow.
They say, take a picture.
Well, speaking of shooting the ball, there's a John B. lookalike out in Oakland that was lighting it up the other day. He had a headband on and everything. New look, not new me, because Clay does this all the time. But Clay dropped 50 points. I think it was 50 points, 52 points. And he only dribbled the ball about 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Clay can do that anytime he wants to. You know, he's been struggling up until this point.
He's only shooting 12%.
Yeah, but it's not surprising. I mean, he's got so many, you know, he's had those great playoff performances where he just lights it up. I mean, that's the benefit of it. You know, it's – but, you know, it's the old Hubie Brown rule. You know, can you do this when you're responsible to do it for 75 – like, superstars have to do it for 75 nights a year, as Hubie would say. And so he can do this for this kind of night, but, you know, when you talk about superstardom, and that's what it's hard to evaluate with Golden State, is can he do this when he's the low, or could he break down like Penny Hardaway? Mm-hmm. If he had to then do it for like a performance like this, like, you know, Kobe had to hold up. If Kobe didn't perform at 70, 75 nights, they wouldn't win it. And so that's the part you can evaluate. Any one of these superstars, KD's obviously showed that. But you remember when they didn't have KD and all those cats were logging minutes where Curry was breaking down when it becomes so. He doesn't surprise me that he put a performance like this, because it's like you would everybody else who's singing the right notes, and then you just come in and sing your note, you know, your voice is saved. You know, you ain't really had to sing every night. You didn't have to sing 300 nights a year, you know? And so it was time for you to take the solo tonight. You did your thing. And so it didn't surprise me. It's a great performance, but I don't know what to do with it. What does it tell me about how he projects over 70 games?
Again, you're talking about a performance on a random night in October where you can get hot, all right? You done did all your drills and stuff over the summer, and like you said, you're going to see performances like that. And he's very capable. You know, I think what surprised a lot of people was the amount of threes that he shot and was consistent on. He actually broke a record. He broke the record that Steph Curry had set, which is, you know, pretty good. But again, he's one of the Splash Brothers. You would pretty much expect them to go back and forth on that, you know?
Yes.
So that the fact that he shot that well should be more of an encouragement to the Golden State Warriors that he's got that in him. All right, and as you said, with that squad they got, that's not going to be required of him every night, but he can do it. And it looked like that they were more than willing, at least that night, to feed him the rock and let him go ahead and do his thing. You know, that just kind of tells the other league, look, we got somebody else who can lose their mind on you outside of, you know, KD and Steph. So that's what I saw with it. Like I said, you know, but you take it for what it is. A random night in October, and the rim looked like a swimming pool to him.
I see most of you guys are going towards he got to do this on a more consistent basis. But how would you think Cassius Clay would do if he had his own team? What would you think Klay Thompson would look like if he was on, let's say, like the Miami Heat?
Did you call him Cassius?
You call him Cassius
Allen.
Clay?
Yep, that's Clay Allen right there.
Killing me. But again, I think on that team, he would shine. They got a great, and he's a great defensive player, so he fit into the Heat philosophy. You know, but the key is you're the focal point now.
Yeah,
you're the person that teams are in a scouting report saying we're gonna double, get the ball out of your hand. Versus he can still get single teamed, right? He's still gonna get it because people aren't going to try to double him and leave Durant open. So I think he played well. I just don't know. And it's in the East. So, you know, he could do it, but he's not going to do it as efficiently. He's going to have to put the ball on the floor. You know, you can shoot that way when people are looking at so many other places, but when you're the focal point, will he be as efficient? He's going to have to put the ball on the floor a little bit more because people are running off the three.
But one thing I saw back when they played the Cleveland Cavaliers, this year is probably 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the first year they won. The very first year they won when Dellavedova was supposed to be the Steph Curry stopper, right? So Clay got hot, right? And then they tried to put Dellavedova on Clay, and we saw more of the stuff that Clay can do. Like if he had more, like if he had more of a usage rate, because we saw Clay Thompson play out the post, doing the post fadeaway, kind of like Kobe does, kind of like Not like Kobe. It looks a little different, but he was doing that. He was taking shots off the dribble. I think he can create his own shot if he needs to.
Here's what I see, okay, when you're looking at a Klay Thompson. And ask yourself this, okay? When you had the Oklahoma City Thunder and you had KD on that team, you had Harden on that team and Westbrook on that team, you could see each and every one of those guys as superstars in and of themselves, right? You could see in Harden that he could really take over a game on his own. You've seen Westbrook try to do it. And we all knew what KD was doing, right? When you look at this Golden State Warrior team, well, we've already seen that with Steph. We're aware of that with KD. Do you see that with a Klay Thompson? Do you see a Klay Thompson being the focal point, being the center, the center beam to your foundation, to your franchise? You know, yeah, he can do some great things, but he's been a compliment now, and he's had opportunities. You know, with Steph being out, with KD being out, and they are just not as scary of a team to me when you have those guys, and when he's had his opportunity with these guys to take over. And I think that's been the knock on him. I think that when you see what happened the other night, why there was such an eyebrow raise was because it was Klay Thompson, you know? So that's the thing I see. Now, could he go to the East? Well, you know, you could take any really formidable superstar, put him in the East right now, and it could probably make an impact. But does his game translate into that the guy in the last 2 minutes of the game, the guy in the last 5 minutes of the game that you're going to continually feed the rock to? And then, on top of that, expect him to come back down the floor 82 nights a week and still play that level of defense with increased minutes. You know, I think that's where it remains to be seen.
And the part that is not said that's a benefit for him being in Golden State is that the other aspect of that role you're talking about, Darnell, is leadership.
Yeah.
And he's a California kid. A lot of guys talk about, you know, he's kind of quirky. He goes out and does his surfing. How would he fare in the leadership aspect of the role where you have to be the vocal leader? You have to be on mentally as well. You know, part of what takes a toll of somebody like Durant and folks like that is that they're not quite allowed to not be the vocal leader, not allowed to not push other people. And so we don't know how he's going to perform when you have that extra added burden of vocal. Right now he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't want to. You got Draymond. You got a whole bunch of – so he can pick and choose where he is. But when you're in that spot getting paid that kind of money, you got other responsibilities around building and developing your teammates. And I'm not sure how much of that he always – I'm not saying he doesn't burden that, but I'm not sure. He's not like Draymond calling, texting somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying? Let's get it together, big dog. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you have to do. He's not like LeBron creating outings with his teams and doing the team building stuff throughout the year, understanding those. I don't see him taking on those kind of things, but that's part of that responsibility of being that top echelon player. Now, is he always a number two? He can do that because you can pick and choose when you do that. But if you're the dog, then you got to be the one thinking, looking around. It's not about what you just do. That's why he can score like that, because a lot of times it's just about he got to stay ready. But it's making sure he stay ready, and then all them other guys in the locker room stay ready. I'm not sure about him taking on that burden.
Yeah, what would he look like on Philly? Or like a Milwaukee, like if he was a number two, like if he was a – like Philly.
He probably look better on Milwaukee, I say, than Philly. He probably look great on both those teams because he know how to fit in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He could fit in, and he's a missing piece. He knows how to fit in. But you're talking about leading.
That's what I was about to say. Could he fit in? Would he be? He'd be a great compliment on any team you mentioned in the East.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not that he wouldn't be a great compliment, but what are you asking him to do? Okay, is he going to be a compliment to?
You talking about match player?
Yeah, you're asking him to be a match player, which means what? He needs to come in there and take over a team. Is he capable of doing that? Look, you could say the same thing about a Carmelo Anthony. He could score all over the place, but he simply was not a leader. Okay, and in some cases, he would be considered a cancer. I'm not saying that at all about Klay Thompson, but what are you asking him to do on these other teams for that amount of money? You know, coming from a championship pedigree of Golden State, which he was not the man, okay, but he wanted to be paid that way.
And I think when you're asking that question, I'm assuming that you're saying he's going to be taking on the max role. You say you put him on other teams, you're not putting him on other teams as a common player. You put him on as the max person.
I mentioned that because where I was sensing where this is pretty much going is,
yeah,
you guys don't think he would do very well as the number one guy, number one option. That's why I then asked, what would he look like on a team like Milwaukee, where you would have like a star like in Giannis, but pretty much you're the number two guy instead of being the number four, like on.
But I think that would be like a Pippen Jordan, just in terms of framework around two guys who would lock down your wings.
Yeah.
And could score on offense.
Right.
But I think would have much more harmony. That would be a great one too, because they both are committed to defense. He adds that outside element. Giannis is improving. They would be, 1A, 1B, very locked down for the next 5-10 years. They causing problems. And plus, they got kind of personality, seem like they would get along. That's a different kind of makeup than he's like KD. Like, you asking him to come in like LeBron, and whoever that star is there is assuming they come in number two, right? Because he's going to be that, cats like that. Durant walked in, and just walking in, everybody knew he was top dog now. Even with all them stars in there, everybody kind of knew Durant was the business, right? Is he going to be that? Is that Clay?
Well, speaking of Durant, Kevin Durant has stated that what he wants out of this next year is he wants to get paid, man. He said he hasn't had a big contract yet, and he wants to get the max. I'm talking $200 million, break the bank. So what I'm thinking is, if he wants the max, Draymond wants him. He wants to get paid. Klay Thompson's contract is up after this year. If you are Bob Myers, which is the Warriors GM, who would you keep and who would you try to get rid of? And especially, who would you like spare to get rid of with DeMarcus Cousins coming back onto next season, adding that into the equation?
Wow. Well, you know what? Who is your most valuable trade bait right now? Okay. But you got DeMarcus Cousins, which it seemed like to me, Darnell, what you did was set that one up. If you got DeMarcus Cousins, then clearly you're looking at potentially moving Draymond Green. Right. Okay. If you're going to keep DeMarcus Cousins, then you're going to try to move Draymond Green and think that he could take that role. And so if you're trying to move somebody, now Klay Thompson, to me, we've been talking about him, is the most intriguing. All right. Because if he's coming up on a max deal, okay, you got to get something for him. You're not going to be able to pay all these guys, especially if you win a third championship, okay? If you win a third championship, now you need to really start trying to trim some payroll back and start trying to do some other things. So if you're talking about moving to Klay Thompson, what can you get for him? And where would you send him to, okay? But if I were to look at the way the NBA is running right now, if I'm going to keep a Boogie Cousins, okay, the assumption is you're going to keep a Boogie Cousins. Then if you got a healthy Boogie Cousins, then it seems to me that Draymond Green will make a logical choice to try to move. And the also piece, when you think about that too, is you have some teams where you could probably move him. You could probably put him in some place, especially if you want him to East. I know before Detroit Pistons made the move to get Blake Griffin, there was a lot of rumblings around here that Draymond Green might be somebody that would help this team here. But that would be, from what we're talking about, that would be a move that I think I would make.
Yeah. And so is Draymond going to be unrestricted or restricted?
I'm not sure. I think he's
unrestricted. I think he's unrestricted because he just signed a deal.
So you're talking about two. So if you're going to make any deals with either Draymond or Clay, you're going to do it in the season before you win a championship. Huh?
Yeah, you have to do a sign and trade because they're confident. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to trade them before the season's over.
Yeah, so it would probably it could be a sign and trade scenario. And if you do that, see, the thing about Draymond, you ever have somebody who worked in your organization that when they left, you realize how much they did? Like, they did a job of three people. Right. And you only realize that they did a job of three people when they were gone.
Right.
That's Draymond. Like, Draymond doing work for the coaches, Draymond doing work on the boards, Draymond doing work everywhere. And nobody else has to do that because Draymond doing it.
Right.
So, you got to realize, okay, do I got the cats who going to do what he's doing to anchor the defense, to do some of the stuff that's off the court to keep the guys emotionally in check and do so like that. If you got that, then you can you can find out if you can do a sign and trade and move Draymond to a space. But the thing I look at it like this is that as much as I love Clay, you got Curry, who's probably one of the greatest shooters of all time, and you got Durant, who is close, right? So from an outside scoring and defense, you got that. Then you add Boogie and Dre on the squad with you. In a way, and Dre can play outside, Boogie, and they can play interchangeable. With some of the young talent you developing, I move Clay. Because you now got an interchangeable squad that can play any way you want to play. You can play Boogie and Dre at the same time. You can play Boogie, Dre, Curry. You play all of them at the same time because they're all comfortable playing in space.
The issue that I would have with that, though, is when you look at the overall health of Steph Curry,
mm-hmm.
okay, in the last two seasons now, he's missed significant time with injury, all right? So he's the straw that stirs the drink. You got to have him, okay? But what happens? You've got to preserve your superstar somehow, all right? And that's what I'm looking at there. You got to preserve your superstar somehow. Now, what I'm looking at is like, you win it. Now, we're playing hypothetical here. You win a championship here, that's three in a row. All right. Is history on your side in this modern day NBA to go four straight? And if not, then you have to start to develop more of your young talent, and somebody got to go. Now, if you're saying to them, I hear what you're saying.
They got some young talent. They got to play them.
Exactly. You got to play them. And you got to play them probably after this year. You're going to have to make that move.
You got to introduce some of them into the game now.
But what are you looking – exactly. But what are you looking at doing? Because you cannot – your history is telling you that your superstar is not going to be able to sustain that much longer.
This is why I go with Draymond. Because if you go with Draymond, what Clay isn't is a primary ball handler. Draymond gives you a point forward and KD can run. And you got some guys off the bench. So what preserves Curry is he can play off the ball more. Yeah. He can run off screens more. He don't always have to be the primary ball handler. Yeah. So yeah. That's why I say Draymond gives you an element as a primary ball handler that you don't get with Clay. Clay not a primary ball. He ain't really gonna help. You still got other shooters. You got some young cats you gotta bring into the game.
Yeah, Boogie
shoots like 40% from three. Yeah. Come on, man. Your center, she's 40%. Yeah.
And one thing that we're leaving out here is one big thing that Klay Thompson does, if we look come playoff time, he's guarding every elite point guard. Like, he's another guy that's preserving Stephen Curry, because if you look, Stephen Curry doesn't have to guard the Damian Lillards and Chris Pauls all the time. Klay Thompson can take that burden, so who are we going to have it to there? So if we move Klay Thompson, who would you try to get in return for that? Like, who would you try to fill that role with?
Well, what you've seen is people are taking discounts to come play with Golden State. So you don't know who's even on the market. And that's a position, the two guard and wing is a position where there's a lot of depth in the league. And you might there's a lot of different ways to do it. But you also got to do it because you ain't got a force in the middle. You got Boogie. Right. So other part of defensively, you can funnel people into Boogie, right? So other things that help you is your scheme. And last time I checked, Steve Kerr is really good with scheme. He's got some head coaches on there. So part of it is you needed to do that because you didn't always have a rim protector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you played small lineups. Now you got a rim protector.
All right, now let me put this trade scenario in your ear, because we have the big guard, big two guard that can guard the one for Stephen Curry, and we have a guy that can also space the floor at a cheaper option. And I'm going to tie this into an earlier thing I brought up with Klay Thompson on the Bucks. So what do you think about a possible Klay Thompson trade for Chris Middleton?
I knew you were going to say that.
Chris Middleton is 6'8". He can shoot. He's one of the more underrated players in the league. He has a great mid-range game. He can shoot three-pointers. He can defend. As I mentioned before, he's 6'8". He can bother any elite point guard. So, what do you think about that?
I think it's a nice one. And also, you got Iggy. Iggy guards point guards.
Yeah, but Iggy's getting long in the tooth, man.
Yeah, but if you can get him as a bridge stopper. Yeah. But, yeah, I like the Middleton trade if the numbers work. Yeah, he's underrated. I love him.
I don't think they would do it because I think the contract coming up, he want to be. I think Clay would want a max deal.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Okay,
I think Clay gonna end up going to Lakers.
Yeah, he's gonna want a max deal. Yeah, and I can see that too. I would definitely get a first rounder for him.
But if you're Milwaukee, wouldn't you want to pay Clay Thompson? Like, do they have enough cap space to secure him and Giannis? Because the rest of the team is young. You have Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah,
he's young. He's a second, third year player. You have who else is on the team? You got John Henson. I don't imagine he's making a lot of money.
Your good point. The point that I make is that Kirk came from San Antonio and watched the way the organization, Buford and those guys, manage transition. So the one thing that Steve Kerr does have in his experience is working for a top organization that was basically winning 50 games for 20 something years, watching it manage transition. And the other thing about it is, we can't underestimate the fact that Kevin Durant is young, and Kevin still can. Like, I love Clay, but Kevin has not maxed out in the work he could do for Golden State. He's on some things he's deferred a lot. So I don't even think Golden State got the full KD. So for some of the things that Clay was able to do, you also are getting probably a fuller KD taking on much more aggressiveness, which is. Could be a problem because right now people benefit from the fact that KD isn't always aggressive because of all the other things. What you could get is a very aggressive KD that can make up for a lot of things that people might be missing. But I think Kerr, because of his San Antonio experience, I think he's mapping out those scenarios. You can't keep these guys together. At some point, the youngins got to go and spread their wings. I don't think Clay, Clay's second generation. We're talking about Steph and Clay. You think about their second generation. They grew up on money and around the NBA. The kinds of things that motivate them ain't the kind of things that motivate a lot of other cats. So, like, he's making enough money. He likes to surf. So a lot of it comes down to also Clay's value systems that's different than many other players who are not second generation like they are. Like, he's okay with – he wants to get paid, but he don't need to break the bank. He might sign a one-year deal and then come back with something different. So those scenarios also play out with Clay where KD was taking the sacrifice, maybe he does a one-year deal or do something different to stay where he's at because I don't think he has the same kind of demands on his life like some other cats do. So we have to watch out for that too as well.
You want to get us some beef?
What's the beef, man?
This week we had Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley. This one has been going on for a pretty long time. When KD and Westbrook were on the same team, Westbrook was injured by Patrick Beverley. He tore his meniscus on the play when he was dribbling across the sideline, getting ready to call timeout. Patrick Beverley dives to try to steal the ball in front of him, makes him stop abruptly, and he tears his meniscus and he misses a lot of the postseason. So this beef has been brewing for a long time. We know these guys don't like each other, and it's going on again, man. I saw Russell Westbrook, he scored on Patrick Beverley. I think it was in the post or something. And he walks down the court and moved my camera a little bit. And he acts like he's rocking the baby, trying to rock him to sleep. And I don't know if it was the next possession, but it was a couple possessions later. Patrick Beverley does the exact same thing to Dennis Schroeder. He scores him in the paint. And then he rocks the baby back. and then Westbrook and them John, they're jawing back and forth, Westbrook and Beverley. And Patrick Beverley dives at him. It was like one of those, like, you ever seen like one of those little corners trying to tackle a big running back? You just I know you saw it at the bar.
Man, this is like Marvin Hagler and Hearns. It's like this is like pay-per-view because both these cats are straight G's.
This is like
these are cats you don't mess with. And I was like, man, these cats are like, cats are really showing up. But the thing about Beverly, he got that hair, he looking wild and crazy, like he might cut struggle. You. that South Side struggle. So yeah, man, I'm like, they don't like each other, you know. And then Westbrook, you know, the LA inning. So I was like, man, this stuff, I don't know if once they get started, I don't know who's going to stop them. But yeah, it was funny the way they went back at it. And I was like, man, this is the NBA getting heated up. And when these two get it, you have to watch them every time on the court. Referees don't have to come in like, y'all be careful here tonight. Because yes. Once them two kids started, and they like John, they like, and the thing about it is right after that stuff happened, Westbrook got the ball. And Beverly was right up in his grill, dinging him up, like all up on him, like what, like right after him broke him up. So yeah, man, this is made for television. I'm gonna be watching them next time they go at it.
Yeah, this is one you want to see them play in the playoffs.
Oh yeah,
and you want the referees to swallow their whistle.
Yeah,
let them go. Just let them go.
But too bad the Clippers will not be making the playoffs this year.
I know. No, they won't. But see, you got to raise the stakes somewhere. What you going to do? Have them play on Christmas?
they should force a trade. Patrick Beverley has to go back to the Rockets.
Yeah. Well.
He got to go back. We had a firing in the NBA. Tyronn Lue, man. He's gone after an 0-6 start. It's pretty bad. But this happens, man, when LeBron leaves a team. We saw this a couple of times before. It usually leaves a pretty big void, and that's what we're seeing here in Cleveland. So, do you think Tyronn Lue should have been fired, or do you think Lue was too early?
Let me take this one real quick. When I look at this, 0-6, okay. Tyronn Lue, we all know this. Tyronn Lue was handpicked by LeBron James to be the coach. All right. Tyronn Lue did some pretty skillful things. You know, had to give him a little bit of credit during the finals. I mean, did he have talent? Absolutely. But he did the championship that they won. He did some things to get that team over the hump. What do I see with this team right now is a very complacent team. I saw today that J.R. Smith is demanding a trade. You know, I would assume he wants to go to a team that's being sponsored by Hennessy, but that's another story for another time.
Don't nobody want.
You know, he forgot. He thought LeBron was still on the team. But that being said, I think they're doing Tyronn Lue a favor. Okay, this is a team that's in rebuilding mode, obviously. It's a little bit premature, six games in, but I wouldn't be surprised if behind the scenes it was like, I just don't have the energy to coach this team this year. Okay, that's probably not being said. Everything was flowery. His announcement was, you know what, I thank the Cleveland Cavaliers for the opportunity, blah, 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 blah. We've heard the narrative. But you know, in this situation, you just took a coach that's got you to the finals with LeBron James, obviously, 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row, and you get fired. So I just think that he was like, I'm ready to go. I can't do that with this team and y'all going another direction.
Okay, so how fast before we see Tyronn Lue in L.A.?
That's a good question. Probably as an assistant. I don't know.
Yeah.
As an assistant. Probably as an assistant, but I wouldn't be surprised if his name didn't come up as coaches start to make their exit, okay? There's a lot of coaches out there that ain't going to make it through this NBA season. And say what you will about Tyronn Lue, three teams that he coached made it to the finals, and he won one, okay? So he can boast that he's won a championship before. So that you can always put on a resume. But, you know, him leaving Cleveland, you know, is like I said, it's the best thing for him.
And you got to – I mean, people got to put this in real context. I mean, if this was anybody else, they would say, this guy did an amazing job. First of all, he got through into coaching halfway through a year after having blocked there, then he had to take over a crew that was dysfunctional, got him focused, got him to the finals, got some things there going. Then one year they changed the roster in the middle of the year. He found a way to bring him together and I felt like similar to what Spoelstra got in Miami, you know, this guy had demonstrated he could coach. Okay, give him a chance with all the distractions out the way for him to figure out how to do it. So it sounded like he was having some debates with the new GM about playing time and veterans and, you know, trying to get these young cats and figuring out how the stuff going. And, you know, on Twitter I said it was kind of like the moment in The Wire where Bodhi, after Avon went to jail, was still trying to hold down the corners when this young gangster Marlo was coming in taking over the corners. And Bodhi didn't realize the game had changed until Slim Charles said the game done changed. But Bodhi was still battling. LeBron left, the game done changed, and Bodhi was still battling. And was that young Chris that snuck up behind him and was like, bop! It just took him out on the corner, and it was all gone. He was going to hold them streets down until they took him out. And Ty was still, even though LeBron was gone, he was going to hold them streets out. And they came up behind him like, it's time to go.
You know what? You just made a valid point there. And that is that they did change the GM.
Yeah.
So, you know, what they should have did was give him, if the GM wanted his own coach, because you know that's usually the case.
Yes.
You get a new GM, I want to be the one to bring in my man to do my thing. So you're absolutely right. That's a point that I have missed, that they changed, the GM had changed the GM as well. And because there was some talk of Chauncey Billups potentially being a GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which, you know, I know he ain't, I'm glad he didn't do that. But what that says is Tyronn Lue, basically his days was numbered anyhow. Yeah. And they were looking for a reason. Now I'm glad, now that you bring that up, it all makes sense. Okay, so let's just go ahead. And the minute he started struggling, he can go.
And JR, you're going to be in them vacants too. You know, I think you forgot that Avon was gone.
That's right.
I want to trade. Who are we going to trade you to? Who are we going to trade you to? The Globetrotters? Who are we going to trade you to, man?
Washington
Federals.
Oh, man.
That's who they're going to trade him to. He's going to throw the ball to the Globetrotters anyway. He might as well get paid for it.
Oh, Dos Equis commercial.
Hey, thirsty, my friends.
Staying with Cleveland, the unemployment rate is rising rapidly. They gave him his pink slip, and they said, "You know what? You might as well take your offensive coordinator with you."
You know what? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson's got to be in the union, okay? He's got to be in the union because he's been the unemployee of the year for the last 2 years, okay? I'm here to tell you, you know, how can you have, like, what's he got, 3 wins in 2 years and still got a job? I'm still punching the clock every day. That's like walking in, Darnell, punching the clock and going on break. That's what Hugh Jackson did, okay? He came in, punched the clock, went on break, came back to work, and went to lunch. That's what he did and kept his job. It was crazy. He went 0-16 last year. 0-16. I got the vent on this one, y'all. He went 0-16 last year. All right? Didn't win a game. All right? They go and get the Heisman Trophy winner as their quarterback. This is the cat who they felt was the one to take them into the next level. Hugh Jackson is the worst. And everybody, well, he's a good coach. You said it yourself, D. Oh, yeah, well, I saw him on Hard Knocks. Look, a blind squirrel gets a nut every now and then. All right? The man has won 3 games and a tie. okay? And I'm not talking about your Easter tie in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns.
And this tie against
Cleveland. And he kept his job. He kept his job. You know what got him fired? You know what got him fired? When he said, well, maybe I should take over calling the offense. The same cat who took over the offense from last year when they went 0-16 and ownership finally said, oh, hell no. Who gets nothing? It was about time. I mean, you got to fire yourself. This was the craziest thing. If I was a Cleveland Browns fan, I would have lost my mind. I would have lost my freaking mind. How in the world does this man keep his job? They had a play. They had a parade last year for going 0-16. He comes back, and until he says maybe I'll take over the play calling myself, oh hell no, you got to go and take him with you. I mean, what kind of crazy is that, dude? How do you do that?
But that's I was going to add something on to it. I'm going to let you have that one. I'm not going to add any more to that one. I can't even defend you.
That was the biggest fraud, okay?
I rest my case.
You couldn't even get the affirmative action people to vouch for Hugh Jackson. You know, we need more black coaches in the NFL. Well, no, not him. Not you. No, you can't get him. Because he's no good. You don't win but 3 ball games in 2 years in the NFL? A league that they say is not for long? He's lucky. I have no sympathy for him as a fan.
The one thing about it is, the one thing I will say, we might have to recognize the progressiveness of both the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. Hold on to brothers who are underperforming. I mean, in some way, they've come up with some Norman tactics.
Look, Pookie and Ray Ray and them has got something on those owners. If they still got jobs, man. I mean, they're making it hard for the brothers that can coach. That's the thing that makes me mad about this. There's some brothers out there that can flat out coach, okay? And Hugh Jackson and Marvin Lewis is making it tough on them because they keeping their jobs, and those kids, their records speak for themselves. And I ain't trying. I'm serious. It's like if I'm a fan of these teams, you're like, damn, what's going on? Really? And you come right back. Oh, they have no intentions of getting rid of him. Wow. Okay. Well.
Well, I ain't gonna ask him to fire either one of them as long as the Cowboys are keeping Jason Garrett. So as long as you can continue to justify Jason Garrett, then I think Hugh Jackson and Marv Lewis to keep their job. Okay. But as long as you can justify Jason Garrett every year,
What do you gotta say about the Giants coach?
Nothing.
Oh man! But speaking of the
Giants coach, since you brought it up, okay. First of all, you got a quarterback that's older than me still playing. All right. And that's your problem. Okay. And he doesn't have the running game that they had, although Saquon is good, but the offensive line sucks. And that's an aged team. You need to move on. You definitely need to move on from man. All right. And they already said, well, what if you bench him and bring somebody else in? Well, he's going to pout on the sideline and divide the team. So you might as well just let them go down the road, and then you go ahead and you release him at the end of the season. But, that's 2 years in a row for the Giants being sorry.
They should sign Kaepernick and make a statement. No.
They're not signing Kaepernick.
he would improve their offense with all that layoff, I'll tell you that.
A lot of these teams.
Yeah.
They would improve offense of a lot of these teams, but those owners aren't going to do that.
Yeah, make it wrong.
That's another topic for another day.
Yeah, we got to do our Kaepernick check-in next time. We haven't done that in a while.
That's another topic.
We ain't forgot about you, brother.
Speaking of
we ain't forgot about you. We watch you.
Yep.
Speaking
of affirmative action and black coaching, we're gonna move on. We're gonna transition to the black quarterbacks. We've all seen the outstanding play of Patrick Mahomes this year. We've seen Deshaun Watson have a good comeback year after his ACL. But one guy that's been flying off the radar is Cam Newton. Cam Newton went against the number one defense in the league last week and displayed his accuracy. He was 21 for 29, 320 yards, something like that, I think it was 3 or 4 touchdowns. He had a great game, man. Did you guys see the game? Did you guys see Cam?
Saw parts of it, but I would say North Turner has really been good for Cam. Norm, again, like Hugh Jackson, some people are made to be great offensive coordinators. Maybe that's what he's supposed to be. But North Turner is – people can never challenge. If you need to correct your offense or your quarterback, get Norm. He's throwing on rhythm. The other thing is McCaffrey, the way Norm uses the running back, and McCaffrey is a savior. I wish they would let – he's on my fantasy team. I wish they would give him the ball in the red zone a little bit more. McCaffrey get that ball on the 20. He got to score from there because he know he ain't getting it back. They're going to throw it to somebody else. But he's been distributing. I still get a little worried when he's running at this age. I mean, they still got some design run plays. And, you know, Cam's got to start advocating for not doing that. But he's throwing a rhythm. And I think Norv has got him getting rid of the ball. And I think it's been a good – people haven't talked about that relationship a lot, but I think there's a lot of respect there. And you can see Cam really feeling comfortable with him as a coordinator.
Mm-hmm. People fail to realize that this quarterback was 3 years removed from the Super Bowl.
Yes, right.
Okay. They forget that this Carolina team won 14 ball games a few years ago. And but they couldn't protect Cam. And that was one of the issues that they had, that they could not protect him. And then last year, there was a sniff away from the playoffs again. This is a good Carolina Panther team, okay? This team is a very good team. They've got some weapons for him to get the ball to, all right? But for whatever reason, they struggled to protect him, or for whatever reason, they struggled to play decent defense. This is a team that every year has been an enigma, because when you look at that South, they should be better than what they are, and the NFC South. And so there should be no surprise in what we're seeing from Cam Newton. He should be a little bit more calm in the head about getting it together. I'm not surprised. I expect them to, again, be a playoff contender and another one of those dark horse teams to make it to the Super Bowl. This is a good Carolina Panther team.
Okay, speaking of quarterbacks, Jacksonville, they do not have one.
Listen, again, they're rattled with injury. You don't have the running game that you had last year, and the defense is not playing like they did. Okay? Blake Bortles was very serviceable last year. If they didn't think so, then they missed the window. They missed the window of opportunity to get one. Okay? They thought that they were one play away from the Super Bowl, and now they're having a hard time recapturing that magic. The one thing, though, that has – that they want to do is run the football, okay? And they don't want to leave it into the hands of Blake Bortles, but they don't have no choice because they can't keep their running backs healthy. And Leonard Fournette is starting to be looks almost like he's going to be a bust simply because he can't stay on the field. Okay, they had to go get another running back simply because they can't keep that young man on the field. But that's not what Jacksonville wants to do. They don't want to chuck the ball all around the yard. And that's what they're being forced to do. So now you're starting to see that Blake Bortles isn't able to do that.
And more importantly, they've demonstrated a lack of decision-making and efficiency because they ran up a $65,000 bill in London. I'm trying to figure out what y'all did with $65,000.
They out there hanging.
At that point, y'all lost me.
Look, I tell you what they were doing. That's what they said. I tell you what they were doing.
We've hung out. I've hung out. I've been around bills that have been something, $65,000? What y'all eating?
Stay thirsty, my friends.
I mean, there ain't that much. Yeah. I mean, what y'all?
They had a special guest. Jared Smith was in London.
That's
with
right.
His shirt off. Eating Kobe steak. I mean, what y'all eating for $65,000? I mean, I'm in the wrong business. I wanted to be at that party.
That was one serious party.
$65,000?
Yep. You think
I was buying something other than food? Something was going on. I ain't gonna say that, but something was going on for $65,000.
So do you think the season's over? Do you think Jacksonville should just tank and just try to get a new quarterback in the draft next year?
They can't do that because they talk so much junk. They gotta find a way to resurrect. Yeah. You know, you can't go out here call out all the quarterbacks and everything else. Right. And I got them on my fantasy team, and they just have stuck it. Like, they have no choice but to fight because they talk so much cash.
Oh, they talk noise.
And so they can't do it. They do it, they're going to get talked about. Right. So they've got to fight.
They might not have a choice because defense is on the field the whole game. You can't get no points on the board. We losing.
Well, you got to be the Ravens defense. They can't win if they can't score. If you that good,
yeah,
they can't win. Can't score, and then you play field position. If you that good, they can't win if they can't score.
Right,
but that's what you got to be. Ball the other way because we turn. No, we. I keep saying we, but they keep turning the ball over. You get two. You're consistently getting two or three turnovers a game.
That's what happened. I mean, do you remember them Raven teams where they didn't score for like a 3-week period with turn the ball over? They was just, you turn it over, you just ain't going to score. And then we going to score. I mean, that's what you got to do. When you talk as much junk, they talk.
I don't know if
that's what it is.
They're not the Ravens, though. Yeah, they good, but they're not on that level. They're not 2000s Ravens.
Well,
but speaking of, we're going to stick with the Jags here. They made a trade. They traded Dante Fowler Jr. out of Florida. Good pass rusher, extremely athletic, to the Los Angeles Rams. Now, this is just straight off fair, man. You already had Aaron Donald, you had Ndamukong Suh, you had Michael Brockers, now you have Dante Fowler Jr. Rest in peace, Tom Brady. This is not man, this is not going to end well. Oh, they're gonna have some problems, man.
Look, that first of all, what you're saying is that the depth is great. Okay.
You can't double team anybody.
But they can let them guys get up the field if they want. All right, before you say rest in peace, you saw what Aaron Rodgers should have did to him before he got there. All right.
He got bamboozled by Ty Montgomery.
You're absolutely right. You get you a quarterback. Don't say rest in peace, my toes. Because these quarterbacks can let this ball go. They just let you keep coming. And by the way, with the wuss rule right now in the NFL, they can't hit him like they want to hit him anyhow.
Well,
so they can only get in his way. So all he got to do is step to the side. And don't get me wrong, okay? I think the Rams – They should be the Super Bowl representative right now. They're showing everybody. They got it. But not just because of that front line, that defensive front. But you got Todd Gurley, who is, you know, an MVP candidate in his own right. Okay, they've got one of the best young coaches in the league. They've got a formidable team. That being said, they got beat by Atlanta last year in the playoffs. They got to get it together, okay? So they got to show that they can get it in. I think it's a good move. I think the more depth you got, the better. But unless one of those guys is on the end, you know, they both play in the middle.
Well, no, Dante Fowler is an end guy.
He's in?
Brockers can play on the end.
Yeah.
And Aaron Donald is versatile. The thing about
he's versatile.
One thing I saw about Aaron Donald is he's leading the league in sacks. He has 10 sacks already. And his double team rate, he's getting double teams on 70% of his snaps.
Let me tell you something. Every time I hear Aaron Donald's name, my stomach hurts. Let me tell you why. Okay? Because being where I'm at, Aaron Donald was on the board the year he got drafted by the Detroit Lions, and they took Eric Ebron. My stomach hurt.
Yeah, you know what? You know also still on the board? Odell Beckham Jr. You could have had Odell and Megatron.
Oh, my God, but you could have had Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh in Detroit.
Oh, man. They in L.A. now, but, yeah, you could have had him back then.
That's the reason why I'm a Steeler fan.
Hey.
That's it. Those decisions.
Those decisions, right.
I'm not going to add any more to that Ram conversation because, they're going to be great. But, you know, playoffs are different. There's been a lot of dominant teams with front lines. You know, they're going to have a good back end. You know, they put themselves in the driver's seat. It was probably obvious that Fowler was probably there, you know, at the $65,000 guru, probably played a major role. That's probably why they sent him out. So then you got to worry about what was that all about. But I think he's coming into a locker room. You know, the Rams organization has committed to winning. I mean, LA has got a team that has decided, both teams, the Chargers. I mean, these teams are playing to win. A place like LA with all the stuff they got going on, they don't really deserve that. Mm-hmm. St. Louis, are you, the people, you know who are mad? St. Louis?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why couldn't, same one, why couldn't you have done this in St. Louis? Well, you have fans who are going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Who ain't going to be showing up late.
But that was the NFL. They had to have a team in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a shame because a city like St. Louis didn't do nothing wrong. They showed up. They supported the team. They bought the merchandise. They bought the season ticket. They built a new stadium, RCA.
That's right.
That's not fair. And they deserve another team there. But this was the NFL. This was the NFL. They had to have a team in the biggest market, TV market. So they moved the Rams back, okay? And they offered them so much money. And the same thing with the Chargers. The money was too good for them to stay there. Those communities simply could not afford them. And that's a shame. That's really a shame.
But, I mean, it's a great – I mean, they're you know, if they win the Super Bowl, it's right here in the front line. I mean, the teams – I said you got to be strong on both sides of the lines. This team is strong on both sides. Mm-hmm. And the people who talk the loudest are what? Closest to the football.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a lot of cats on the outside talking.
Mm-hmm.
New York, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
not too much New York talk today. But I know you wanted to touch on Jameis Winston and his recent struggles. Do you think Jameis Winston is a bust, or is it too early to say that?
He is a Heisman bust, okay? He is a Heisman bust. I don't – you know, the thing is about Jameis Winston is that bothered me even back when he was at Florida State was immensely talented. Okay, he has a professional pro arm and could be one of the better quarterbacks. But between his ears is cigarette ashes. Okay, he just simply does not focus. He do stuff, the things that he did back in Florida State, he's doing at the pro level. Okay, you can't do that. Okay, the amount of detail, the attention to detail at the pro game is so much greater than it is at the collegiate game. And you're just not going to have everybody protect you. Okay? What the Tampa Bay Bucs did was they invested a ton of cash on this kid, all right, until he got hurt or until he got suspended, all right? And they went with Fitz there. He started clowning. He made that team his own, okay? This is a veteran who's got one more shot. He did what veterans do. So then you get Winston to come back into the game, and what happens? Okay? He stinks up the place. He stinks up the place. So now there you go. So there you are. So yeah, he's a Heisman bust. Okay, he was good for what he did, but he's a Heisman bust.
So I want to make sure I got this right. He's not a Heisman bust in the sense that he's the first quarterback in NFL history, I believe it said, that started a career with consecutive seasons of 4,000 yards passing. His first
That's couple. Didn't have a running game.
But again, he was playing, and they didn't have a lot of around him. And remember, they moved Lovey out. And this was part of the offensive coordinator. They put him in. Again, part of the deal is continuity. There was no reason to let Lovey go. There was none. Lovey created a scenario that Jameis was going under. But again, everybody wants the hot shot quarterback coach and all this other stuff to go through. So part of it's an organizational decision. But he was playing, then he made a stupid decision. I always say a thing about Jameis is I think he's socially awkward. Then you got a whole bunch of other issues that are coming into poor decisions. And at the end of the day, you are the CEO of the team. He's failed in that leadership category. But from his numbers, you don't start off. Look, we're giving Luck all kinds of wiggle room. And this kid was the first in NFL history to start two seasons, $4,000 yards passing. But yet we're making all kinds of excuses for Luck, all kinds of crazy. And part of the reason why we can't do this is because of his off-field behavior. But if you're just judging him by where he's progressing on the field, he did it. Now, when that happened, now it's like, can you trust him? And so missing these games, coming back, knowing you got a coach who's got to win because his job is on the line. So there's other things about it, but when you think about, he didn't start off his career not putting up positive numbers compared to what you see. So, well, I'm gonna say this: they let him go, watch him shine. He's not going to be somebody who's not going to shine somewhere else. Let him go somewhere else. He's going to shine because his numbers tell he can. He's got to get in the right locker room.
Here's the thing, okay? You say that, but when you talk about luck, what you're talking about is his bad luck and his injury problem, okay?
No, his bad play. Luck threw a lot of interceptions.
He did.
And everybody blamed on everybody else.
Well, here's the thing about with Jameis is when you say trust him, you got to be on the field, man.
Yes, I give you that.
And if everything off the field is keeping you from playing,
yes.
Okay, then it doesn't matter if you ain't playing.
Yes.
And that's my point. It's like,
but a bus is that you're not playing on the field. His numbers on the field his progression in the field wasn't a trajectory of a bus. His other stuff outside the field is what's causing us to talk, but not his potential on the field. Not with these numbers.
But one thing I gotta say is Jameis Winston's still young. I think how old is he? 26?
Yes, he
can still develop. Like we're seeing guys like Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins. They coming on to get in the right situation. They can take their teams deep in the playoffs. But Jameis Winston, I think he can get it together. But
let me ask you this: If Lovie was still the coach, do you think he'd be going through this?
Yes,
that's a good question.
I think so.
Jameis, but you give
him. No, I think Lovie. I think Lovie had a good handle on him. I think he respected Lovie because Lovie had that father figure piece. Lovie was, remember when Lovie left, the trajectory was like this, but somebody thought it was cool to get a little offensive coordinator. Lovie had him going like this. Now we ain't gonna talk about Lovie at Illinois, but no. Lovie had him going like this.
Here's the thing. I do believe that when he first came into the league, he tried to do right, okay? Because he came in there with that reputation. That's what I think. And I think that for him and his agent and all them folks around Jameis Winston said to him, just don't do nothing stupid until you get this money and then go out there and play, all right? And don't get yourself in trouble. But like I started when I said this, the young man could be one of the finest quarterbacks in the league, but in between his ears is cigarette ashes. For some reason, he just don't comprehend that he got to cool it off the field. Him getting suspended and stuff like that, that's going to carry. It's going to be hard because he's got to play so hard just to say, I'm this kind of player. Because the one thing you can't, your teammates, you could be the biggest a-hole in the league as long as you're there every week. Ask Allen Hardy, okay, or Greg Hardy, okay? I'm just saying, that's just the way the NFL is.
But I understand that. But let's be real.
But you become a liability when you ain't on the field.
Look, his quarterback rating overall is like 87, something like this. But look, he's already got over 12,000 with all those misses. He's already got 12,000 yards. He was one of the youngest players to get to 10,000 passing yards. So when you're talking about everything we're talking about is right, it's off the field. But when it comes to what he's done on the field, when you're saying that one, what Luck was doing, like this is including luck. He was one of the fastest guys to ever get to 10,000 yards in a time span. He's at 12,000 yards. So when you're talking about the numbers, he put the numbers up. So the other things you're talking about, I think, are very important. But his football stuff says he ain't a bust.
But a lot of people putting up numbers in this new NFL.
We say?
I said a lot of people are putting up numbers in this new
NFL. Now, a lot of people because he's one of the few. Look, the statement says one of the only, the few. That don't mean everybody.
But how many?
How many of those numbers?
He was younger than Drew, a guy called Drew Bledsoe.
How many of those numbers, though, translate into victories and the W's?
They did translate, and then he got hurt the last three games of the season. When they look at some of these years, he was injured. Like, if you really look at the story in the context of the story of what he did this stuff in a season where he still missed three games because he was injured.
Yeah, but what I was getting at is this, the new NFL, there's going to be some a lot of these new guys are going to end up on that list too. You're going to have.
Yeah, but I'm saying you can't give all that love. See, you want to give it. Here we go again. We want to be selective praise. Selective praise. Man, I'm saying judging for all the stuff that Hank said, judging. I think Hank is on about that because you got to stay present. You are the CEO. I agree with that. But when we talk about bust, it's usually connected to statistics.
It's not okay.
Right? It's usually he's a knucklehead, but statistically, he's not a bust.
If he's not on the field, then what is he? Okay, is he starting? Is he starting Sunday? Nope.
Because they got to win right now. He came in like halfway through the season. Okay. So they got to get revved up. I understand that, but I'm gonna say Tampa Bay, let him go and watch. Oh, so Fitz gonna take you somewhere? Let him go. And the thing about it, the coach will be gone.
Well, I tell you what. We can put a pin in this one and come.
We'll take him to Pittsburgh.
Okay,
y'all let him go. We'll take him to Pittsburgh.
We know.
Ben. Huh? Tomlin will give him that. And he'll be like, Week 22.
He'll just be focused on football. Jacksonville.
Huh?
He can go up the street to Jacksonville.
Right now, he'll help Jacksonville. I bet you Jalen Ramsey want him. I bet you Jalen Ramsey
They was best friends back in Florida State.
Jalen Ramsey bring him to us.
Well, stay tuned on this one then.
All right. This got a little hot than what I thought.
Yeah. You thought you dropped them numbers in. Yeah. It's like, you know what? I had some great numbers when I went to work. I was one of the best employees. I was one of the best employees they had when I punched in.
Oh my God! I got that one when I was there, man. I can't even say that.
Move on.
Yeah, next question.